All right, let's make this happen. Okay, let's jump into our series. We are coming to the end of our Exposing Jesus series this week and next week. Our two final weeks. One thing that I've been continually reminded of in this series is that it is crazy to think about the impact that a man who lived 2,000 years ago has made because of his claims. Because of what he said, and then as we said last week, validating those claims through the resurrection. That he made these claims, he validated them through the resurrection, and he sparked a movement that we call the church, and that we're still here today, continuing what he started. 2,000 years later, Jesus is everywhere. And I don't know about you, but I've had some fun finding all the places that Jesus is. From music to movies to TV to clothing. And now some of you guys have been sending me places where Jesus is. I got a couple of pictures just the last day or two of somewhere where Jesus was in the stands with the people. There's a big picture of Jesus. He's everywhere. I found a couple of funny ones I thought this week. Did you know that Jesus is also an action figure? Check out these action figures. So you may not be able to see this. It's not real clear. But in this Jesus action figure, there's a little jug over here, and it says, turn water into wine. Over here, feed the crowd with a few loaves and fish. Jesus, the action figure. Here's another Jesus, the action figure. This one has throwing nails, and I can't remember what that's called, some type of gun. And then he can use the cross as a weapon. Jesus, the action figure. And then here's my favorite, all types of action figure Jesus. Riding the bull, Tony Romo Jesus. Riding the motorcycle, that one says, we'll work for food. That's homeless Jesus. Soccer Jesus, I don't even know what that is. I can't see it from here. Pot smoking Jesus, something, I can't see it. Riding the wave, skateboarding Jesus, climbing the rock wall. Jesus, the action figure. Jesus even sells. We hear all the time, Jesus saves. In reality, Jesus sells as well. Jesus is an action figure. Lots of opinions about Jesus, who he is. People are often compared to Jesus, aren't they? It's almost like you hear the phrase, he's the Michael Jordan of golf. Michael Jordan, who's believed to be the greatest basketball player ever. He was a North Carolina Tar Heel, so I tend to agree. The Michael Jordan of, you'll hear Michael Jordan of golf is Tiger Woods. The Michael Jordan of bowling is this person, the Michael Jordan. Jesus is often compared. I heard recently Tom Cruise compared to Jesus. Tom Cruise is called the Jesus of Scientology. Keith Olbermann did a little thing on his show comparing Jesus to Tom Cruise, and I thought it was funny, so I thought I would share it with you. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Tom Cruise was born in Syracuse, New York, which is 50 miles from Bethlehem, New York. Jesus was anointed by John in the River Jordan. Tom Cruise was given the keys to a spaceship by John Travolta. Jesus ascended into heaven and is seated at the Father's right hand. Tom Cruise ascended a sofa seated at Oprah's right hand. You guys remember that? Jesus turned water into wine. Tom Cruise juggled booze bottles in cocktail. Jesus was born on Christmas Day. Tom Cruise starred in Born on the 4th of July. Jesus had 12 disciples. Tom Cruise had a few good men. Jesus starred in The Last Supper. Sadly, Tom Cruise starred in The Last Samurai. Jesus is often called the only son. Tom Cruise is often called Top Gun. Jesus was called a prophet. Tom Cruise turns a prophet. Jesus came back from the dead and has billions of followers. Tom Cruise came back for yet another Mission Impossible and made millions in the process. But I can tell you that Tom Cruise is no Jesus Christ. Lots of opinions about who Jesus is. Most of them are based on what other people claim and speak on behalf of Jesus. In our series, Exposing Jesus, we've allowed Jesus to speak for himself. What does Jesus have to say about who he is? And what we've discovered is Jesus has made some bold, audacious claims. Jesus has claimed that he is sinless. Jesus has claimed that you can pray to him and he will answer your prayers. Jesus claims that he's worthy of our worship. Jesus claims that he can forgive sins. Jesus claimed that he died on the cross for our sins. And we saw last week, Jesus claimed that he was raised back to life. These are some weighty claims. These are claims with an eternal impact. And what we've said is if these claims are not true, then Jesus is not a good person. He has deceived billions of people. He has misled billions of people. He is a fraud if these claims are not true. But if they are true, then eternity hinges on the claims of Jesus. Today, we're going to discuss his most controversial claim for modern culture. More controversial than love your enemies. More controversial than Jesus saying, pray for the people that persecute you. More controversial than Jesus saying that you save your life by losing your life. More controversial than Jesus saying it's better to give than to get. Jesus' most controversial claim. John chapter 14, verse 6. We'll just read the one verse, the claim of Jesus. Here's what Jesus says. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus claims to be the only way to God. Jesus claims to be the only way to heaven, the only way to the Father. Now let's be honest with each other. Just saying that, when we say Jesus is the only way to God, that those words can come across as arrogant, intolerant, bigoted, outrageous, narrow-minded. Like, we even kind of feel that when we're in that conversation, don't we? We're having a conversation with someone who disagrees with us, and we say that Jesus is the only way to God. We kind of feel that tension. We almost wince at this claim of Jesus, and we hope that no one asks us. We hope that the conversation goes a different way. I've noticed on national TV when famous Christians are being interviewed that if you want to watch a Christian celebrity squirm, ask them this question on national TV. Do you believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven? Do you believe that people outside of Jesus are going to heaven? If you want to watch, no matter what type of pastor they are, preacher they are, public person they are, if you want to watch them squirm, have Larry King ask them on CNN this question. It wasn't too long ago that Oprah Winfrey had a show where she talked about exclusivity. Is Jesus the only way to heaven? And Oprah made this statement. There is no way Jesus is the only way to heaven. There is no way Jesus is the only way to heaven. Joel Osteen, who is very famous for his big smile and his extreme positivity, was asked this question in a public format, and he went completely out of his way to try and avoid the question. It's a tough, tough question. I struggle with the question. My own struggle over this question is real. If we're being completely frank with each other, I hope there is another way. But what I can't do is base the truth on my feelings. What I can't do is base the truth on my sentiment, on my emotions. Is Jesus the only way to heaven? There's three possible answers if Jesus is the only way to heaven. The first answer is simply no. Jesus is not the only way to heaven. I'm going to throw some terms up here so you can be familiar with them. That first answer is called pluralism, that there are many paths to heaven, that all religions are basically equal paths. And pluralism says that. Pluralism says there's a lot of paths to heaven. You just make sure you're on a path that will get you there. Pluralism is the most dominant philosophy of our culture. The second answer to that question, is Jesus the only way to heaven, is called inclusivism. Inclusivism says, yes, but there's a qualifier. And that qualifier is usually that God provides other ways to heaven, but they are somehow taken care of in Jesus through the cross. So people that may not have ever heard the name of Jesus or other scenarios like that, that God has somehow made provision for them and they'll get some type of second opportunity. It's within Jesus, but not exclusively Jesus. And then the third answer to that question, is Jesus the only way to heaven? Is the answer yes. Jesus is the only way to heaven. And that is often called exclusivism, that Jesus is the exclusive way to heaven. Now, let me say a couple of things about these philosophies and about what Christian faith has believed for centuries. I hope all of us understand that all religions, by their very nature, all religions are exclusive. All religions believe that they are right. They believe they're exclusively right. And so the Christian faith is not unique in that regard. It doesn't matter if you're talking to someone that believes in Buddhism or Islam. It doesn't matter if you're talking to a Jew. If they truly believe what their religion, what their doctrines teach, they believe their religion is right. And so all religions, by their very nature, say, we're right, that's why we believe this, and we believe that you are wrong, or we would be what you are. And so all religions are exclusive by nature. The second thing I would say that you have to keep in mind is that historically, throughout 2,000 years of church history, Christianity has embraced this view, that we exclusively believe Jesus is the way to heaven. And the reason that we believe that is because 2,000 years ago, Jesus said, I am the way to the Father. No one gets there except through me. And based on that claim of Jesus, the church for 2,000 years has believed that Jesus is the exclusive way to heaven. And then the other thing that I would say to keep in mind, and this is why I embrace exclusivism, is that the New Testament teaches that Jesus and Jesus alone is the Savior of the world. That only Jesus is the Savior of the world. There's no other teaching in the New Testament that gives any indication that there is a way for people's sins to be forgiven outside of Jesus. And so the reason I am an exclusivist, the reason I believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven is because that's what the New Testament teaches, because that's what Jesus claimed for himself. Now, let me quickly say this. The most outrageous claim of Jesus, in our minds, that he's the only way to heaven, the most outrageous claim of Jesus is actually his most compassionate. Here's the deal with Christianity that's different than any other world religion. Christianity is actually the most inclusive, exclusive religion. Now, you'll have to process that for a minute. Christianity is the most inclusive, like people are invited in to our faith, exclusive religion in all world religions. You don't have to be born into a certain family to become a Christian. You don't have to be trained in certain doctrine to become a Christian. You don't have to practice certain religious practices and disciplines to become a Christian. We are, as a matter of fact, Christianity says it's not about how good you are, it's about how sinful you are. We are an inclusive, everyone is welcome. We are an inclusive, no matter how sinful you are, no matter what your history is, no matter what your skin color is, no matter what your socioeconomic standing is, you are invited to become a part of the Christian faith. We are an inclusive, exclusive religion. That Jesus is the only way, but anyone is welcome to embrace the Christian faith. Here's why it's so controversial. It's so controversial because our modern culture has bought into a couple of common beliefs or myths, we should call them. One of them is this. Our culture believes, for the most part, that all religions are basically the same. That all religions are equal ways to God. You maybe have heard the analogy that there are many paths up the same mountain, just make sure you're on a path. That all religions basically teach the same moral things. But here's the problem with that. Jesus puts Christianity, his followers, in a different class. His claims distinguished him from all other religions and all other religious figures. It's very popular in our day and age to mix and add and blend religions, kind of this cosmic smoothie attitude. I'll take a little bit of this, I'll take a little bit of that, I'll take a little bit of this, and I'll put them all together, and I'll just create what's right for me. Let me read you a quote from Sarah Michelle Gellar, who is Buffy the Vampire Slayer, who is a well-known theologian because she's Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Here's what Sarah Michelle Gellar has to say. I consider myself a spiritual person. I believe in an idea of God, although it is my own personal ideal. I find most religions interesting, and I've been to every kind of denomination, Catholic, Christian, Jewish, Buddhist, and I've taken bits from everything and customized it for me. Cosmic smoothie. I'll take some of this, some of that, some of this, some of that, and I'll make it appropriate to me. Here's the problem with that. God is not schizophrenic. God is not schizophrenic. God, it does not make sense for God to provide multiple paths that do not connect. There's so many distinctions in every world religion that they contradict each other. There's no way for God to say there's many paths, and I know they all contradict each other and they're different and distinct, but just get on a path and you'll be okay. What does make sense is for God to say, here is the way to me, and then show the way. That's what Jesus did, and that's what Jesus claimed. It doesn't make sense for God to say, get on whatever path you want. I know they all contradict each other, and I know this teaches that, and this teaches that, but as long as you're on a path, like that doesn't even make sense. What does make sense is for God to say, here is the way to me. That's what Jesus claimed. That's what Jesus said. We saw last week, I'll mention it again, that the early church understood and believed this claim from the very beginning. I read this verse last week. I'll refer to it again. Acts chapter 4, verse 12, when Peter and John have been hauled before the religious leaders and questioned about preaching in the name of Jesus and told to be quiet. Again, look what they said. There is salvation in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. We talk a lot at City Church about this ancient future idea that we are connected to 2,000 years of church history. We don't dismiss that. We don't ignore that. We embrace our history. There's depth in the history of who we are. And from the opening pages of the New Testament, from the earliest days of the church has taught and believed that Jesus is the exclusive way to heaven. Now, Peter and John said this. I mean, sometimes the pushback is, yeah, but we live in a different day and age. We live in a different culture. Peter and John made this statement standing in the heart of the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire was known for their multiplicity of gods and belief systems, and whatever works for you, and embrace whatever gods you want to choose and roll the cosmic dice as long as you play the game. Like, that's what the Roman Empire was known for. And Peter and John stood in the heart of the primary city in the Roman Empire and said, there's one name by which people are saved, the name Jesus Christ. And for 2,000 years, the church has embraced that belief, exclusive in our faith. And it is grounded in the claims of Jesus. Here's the distinction. It is the distinction between what Jesus says and other religious leaders say. Other religious leaders say, follow me and I will show you how to find truth. Jesus says, I am the truth. Other religious leaders say, follow me and I will show you the way to salvation. Jesus says, I am the way to eternal life. Other religions teach, follow me, follow our teachings, follow our philosophy, follow our beliefs, and we will show you how to become enlightened. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. I bring light to darkened eyes and souls. Other religions teach, follow our beliefs, follow our philosophy, follow our leader. There are many doors that lead to God. Jesus says, I am the door. There is one way, one truth, one life to God. Other religions say, follow me, follow our teachings, follow our beliefs, and we will show you how you can find spiritual nourishment. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Nourishment, spiritual nourishment, comes through me. Here's the problem. Jesus doesn't allow the Christian faith to simply be blended in with others. He claims that he is the way, not a way. He is the way. Let me illustrate it for you like this. Let's say that you and I somehow were able to secure tickets to a popular concert. We'll just use Taylor Swift. Let's say that we were able to find Taylor Swift. Reagan, don't think that this is any hint about your Christmas present. That we were able to secure tickets to a Taylor Swift concert. And let's say that you and I were going to go together. And you get the ticket, and I can't find a ticket to Taylor Swift. So instead, I go and buy a ticket to some other random band. We'll just use whoever. We'll say I find a Maroon 5 ticket. So you have a Taylor Swift ticket, and I have a Maroon 5 ticket. And we both show up at the ticket window in Nashville at the Taylor Swift concert, and you hand them your Taylor Swift ticket, and you're allowed entrance to the door. And coming behind you, I hand them my Maroon 5 ticket. What are they going to say to me? I'm sorry, you're at the wrong concert. You can't get in the door with that ticket. This concert is for people with a Taylor Swift ticket. And I could say, well, hey, look, they're both tickets. They're both taking us on the path to listening to a concert. They're both getting us where we can hear music from a great artist. It's a ticket. Like, why can't I get in the concert with this ticket? This ticket's on the same quality of paper as the Taylor Swift ticket. Like, why can't I get in the door? Because this concert is reserved for people with a particular exclusive ticket. There was one time that I was flying. I still fly some, used to fly a lot with my previous job. And I got my boarding passes mixed up because I had like a million of them just stuck in my luggage, different places. And I grabbed the wrong one trying to check into a flight. And when she ran my ticket on the scanner, she was like, I'm sorry, Mr. Hudson, this ticket doesn't go for this flight. And the only reason was because I had given her the wrong boarding pass. Now, what if in that moment I had stopped and said, you don't understand. Like, I have diamond status with Delta. Like, you can't deny me entrance into that plane. This is my boarding pass. She would still look at me and say, I don't care what kind of status you have. I don't care what your boarding pass says. This plane is going to one place, and you do not have a pass for this plane. You see, the myth and the belief that all religions are basically the same and equal ways to God, the claims of Jesus do not allow that to happen. Because Jesus says, I am the way, not a ticket, not just show up at the door. Jesus says there's one way to the Father, and I am the way. Let me address a second myth, belief that culture often has. Culture also says it's arrogant to claim that Jesus is the only way to heaven. That is arrogant to claim Jesus is the only way to heaven. Now, let me make this statement. Narrow and exclusive do not equal wrong or arrogant. Okay? So just because something is narrow and exclusive doesn't mean it's wrong or arrogant. Let's use a classic example of that. 2 + 2 = 4. Or it should equal 4. I never know in our kind of education system today, kind of whatever works for you works, and 2 + 2 can equal 5, evidently. But if we are true logical people that believe in basic math, 2 + 2 = 4. Is that narrow? It's extremely narrow. It's not whatever answer you want to make it. There's one answer. The answer is 4. Is that exclusive? Yes, it's exclusive. If you put 2 + 2 = 8 on your test, you're going to get a red X. It's wrong. 2 + 2 = 4 is narrow and exclusive, but it doesn't make it wrong. You see, truth always includes the exclusion of error. Anything that's true, that means there's something opposite of that that's false, that's in error. Here's when it becomes arrogant. Arrogant is if there are many ways to God, and someone says, my ways, the best way, are the only way. But that's not what Christianity says. That's not what we believe. Here's what we're saying. We're not saying Jesus is the best way of many ways. Let's go back to the basics of the gospel. What we're saying is this. There is a thing called sin. And sin has a penalty that must be paid. And we have a choice. We can try and pay the penalty by our own good works and the things that we do and try and please God. Or we can believe that someone else has paid the penalty for us. And Jesus claims to be the one who has paid that penalty. We simply embrace the claim of Jesus that what he has done is sufficient to pay for sin's penalty. You see, that's not arrogant. That's simply, we believe we're sinners. We believe that either we can pay the penalty for our sins or Jesus has already done it for us. And we believe that Jesus claimed to be the one that paid for sins, and we embrace that claim through faith and through repentance. You see, it's not arrogant to act on evidence. Let me give you, I love this analogy. We have babies that have recently been born in the life of our church. If you've ever had a child that was born with any level of jaundice, you know that jaundice is a liver disorder that creates an appearance of yellow skin. And so when a baby has jaundice, the doctor, and our in-house doctor can correct me after the service if I'm wrong, but a doctor says the cure for this is pretty easy. There's a special light that we're going to put the baby under, and the light is going to absorb and cure the child of jaundice. Now, let's just say as a parent that in that moment I said to the doctor, well, that's arrogant. It's arrogant for you to think that that is the cure and primary cure for my child. That's the only way. I'm not going to use the light. Instead, I'm going to take my child home and I'm going to take my gallon of bleach out of the cabinet and I'm going to pour bleach into a cup and I'm going to dip my rag or washcloth or whatever term you use for that. I'm going to take it and I'm going to scrub my baby down with bleach. I think I can get rid of that yellow tint by using Clorox on my child. What would the doctor say to me? He would say, look, I'm a certified professional. I have seen thousands of babies that have jaundice. I can tell you, this is the cure. This is the way. I've seen it happen thousands and thousands and thousands of times. Now let me ask you, is it narrow and arrogant for me to believe what the doctor says? No, it's not arrogant or narrow-minded for me to believe that that is the way to cure my child from jaundice. We believe humans are broken, that they have a sin sickness, but there is a cure. And we can either ignore that cure and do our own thing and seek our own cure and believe that everything is okay and all right in the end, and we can deny the claims of Jesus and live life accordingly. But guess what? That doesn't change the claim of Jesus. You can deny it. You can live like it's not true. You can say, I don't believe Jesus is the only way. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to be good enough. I'm going to earn God's favor. I haven't done this in my life. I have done these things. I must please God somehow. We can ignore the claims of Jesus, but that does not make them false or untrue. Nor does it make those who believe the claims of Jesus arrogant. We believe based on the reality of the evidence of what Jesus claimed and the fact he came back to life that Jesus is the way to heaven. It is not arrogant to believe evidence indicates Jesus is the way, just like a cure. And that claim is true or false. If it's true, it's not arrogant. If it's false, we're fools. But it's ignorant to simply ignore it. Let's say that we have two country clubs. And one of these country clubs says, our doors closed. No members are welcome. The only way for us to consider you is that you have to pay dues and you have to obtain a certain level of credibility. You have to do good things. You have to perform our rituals. You have to abide by our rule book. And if you pay your dues and you do all the things that we ask you to do, you may or may not make it into the club. We have to decide. Let's say that there's a second country club that says, our doors are open. Everyone is welcome. The dues have already been paid by someone else. You simply have to enter into the country club. Now, is that second country club snobbish? Are they narrow-minded? Are they exclusive? No, it's called grace. It's called grace. That we believe the Christian faith says the dues have been paid, the penalty has been paid. Everyone is welcome. There's nothing you can do to earn this. Your goodness is not good enough. That's why we've already paid, Jesus has already paid the dues. You simply have to take the step of faith. It is the difference in do versus done. Every world religion outside of Christianity teaches that you must do something to earn God's favor. Christianity teaches that what Jesus has already done is enough. That it is enough. Let me give us and every other Christian or non-Christian that may or may not hear this message, let me give us a strong warning. We, as followers of Jesus, must guard our attitude when we're approaching this subject. You see, I believe that Jesus is the way to God and the only way to God based on his claims, based on what the Bible teaches, based on the fact that a dead man is now alive and is the source of eternal life. I believe Jesus is the way. Here's what I also know. I also know that I am not God. And I know that his ways are bigger than my ways. That his thoughts are bigger than my thoughts. And if you pin me down and say, Devin, is there another way to God outside of Jesus? What I would say to you is, honestly, I don't know. What I do know is that the New Testament says Jesus is the only way. What I do know is that Jesus claimed to be the only way. And what I can't do is base my beliefs on feelings or sentimentality. Jesus claims to be the exclusive way, and I believe his claims are validated. And for that reason, I am an exclusivist. I can't answer all the questions. What happens to the kid that dies on the desert island that's never heard the name of Jesus? I don't know. But what I can't do is allow my heart to simply answer that. Well, he's got to have some second chance. God's a God of love. What I have to do is I have to fall back on what did Jesus claim? What did Jesus say? What does the New Testament teach? While knowing that God is much bigger than anything I can wrap my mind around. And that God is all loving and merciful and gracious. And that God will provide a way. And I believe that Jesus is that way. So here's what I'm saying to you as a Jesus follower. We should be the most humble people on earth. You know why? Because we have received the hope of eternal life without earning it, without deserving it, through grace alone. I've heard it described that Christians are simply one beggar telling another beggar where to find the bread. I love that. That we are simply humble beggars who have been given the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, and that we don't have it all figured out, and we must maintain that level of humility to say, I don't have all the answers all the time. But what I do know is that I was a sinner and that Jesus died for my sins on my behalf, and I rest in what he has done for me. So I don't think we should back away from what we believe about Jesus as the exclusive way. But God forbid we ever come out with some arrogant, pompous attitude that frowns on other people who believe outside of our belief system and look down on them. We are one beggar seeking to tell other beggars where to find the bread through Jesus Christ. 2,000 years ago, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Was Jesus speaking the truth? We are left at that crossroads again, aren't we? Either what he said is true or it's false. Think about this. If what he said is true, John chapter 3, verse 36, Jesus in his conversation with Nicodemus, "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him." You understand the severity of Jesus' claims? If what he said is true, those who follow him and embrace his claims have eternal life. If what he says is true, those who do not believe on him and embrace his claims through faith will face the wrath of God. C.S. Lewis was a man that was a devout atheist that set out to disprove Christianity. In the process of trying to disprove Christianity through reading the New Testament and all these things, instead, C.S. Lewis became a follower of Jesus Christ and became one of the most articulate defenders of our faith. I love what C.S. Lewis has to say about this subject. I'm going to read you one of his quotes. C.S. Lewis says, he's talking about Jesus, "A man who is merely a man and said the sorts of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level with a man who says he is a poached egg." That's the English humor of C.S. Lewis. "He would be a lunatic on the level with a man who claims he is a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man Jesus was and is the Son of God, or else he is a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him, you can kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about him being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us, nor did he intend to." You hear what C.S. Lewis is saying? We got three options. Either Jesus was a liar, demonized cult leader that misled billions of people with his claims and lies. Either he was a liar, or he was a lunatic. He was out of his mind, like a man pretending to be an egg, or the devil of hell. He was a liar, or he was a lunatic that was crazy, or, C.S. Lewis says, we must get on our knees and call him Lord, because he is who he claims to be. That he is the way to God. Liar, Lord, liar, lunatic, or Lord. That's what we're left with. If it's true, if the claim of Jesus is true, that he is the way to God, it changes everything. Here's what it changes for you and me. If it is true, then we, his followers, are left to continue what he started. And what that means, it is our call to share our story with those that God has placed in our path. You say, "Evan, I get all nervous when I talk about my faith. I don't know what to say, and I don't have it all spelled out in a little chart. I don't know how to lead a person to Christ," whatever terminology we love to put on it. Here's what I would challenge you to do. You know how to tell your story, what God has done in your life. And God has placed you in a sphere of influence around people that may or may not believe what Jesus claimed about himself. And God, again, as we've said from day one at City Church, has not left us with a plan B, has he? Like, we're it. We are the ones called to continue what Jesus began. And God has strategically placed you in the life of those that are in your sphere of influence to love them, to point them to Jesus, and to tell them what God has done in your life. We love to put biblical phrases on it, like evangelism and all those fancy things that kind of let us cop out of, well, I'm not called to be an evangelist. But at the end of the day, God has called us to share our story with those he's placed in our sphere. If what Jesus claimed is true, that he is the way to God, God forbid that we fail to tell those in our path where to find the food. Most of you know I lived in Las Vegas for about 7 years and started a church there from scratch. There's two magicians in Las Vegas that are well known throughout the world, Penn and Teller. And Penn, Gillette Penn, is a well-known atheist. He's a open atheist, talks about his atheism constantly. And he released a video while I was in Vegas. He has this little kind of show that he does where he just talks about random stuff on a video. And someone had given him a New Testament while he was at one of his shows. And he was talking about the idea that that person had given him a New Testament, knowing that he was an atheist. And Penn Jillette's response was, most people would believe that I would be offended by that guy giving me a New Testament knowing I'm an atheist. Here's what Penn Jillette says. But instead of being offended, here's how I'm offended. I'm offended that if Christians really believe what they say they believe, why are all of them not giving me New Testaments? Great question for us to ponder, right? If we really believe what we say we believe, why are we not telling other beggars where to find the food? Let's bow our heads for prayer.